Today's episode is brought to you by Media for All, which was set up to help encourage more Black, Asian, and other ethnic talent into media, and to provide a support and mentoring network to ensure talent flourishes in the media industry that we all love. If you're looking for a mentor or would like to mentor young ethnic talent, check them out at mediaforall.org.uk, and it is all 100% free.
Hello and welcome to the Shiny New Object podcast. My name is Tom Ollerton and this is a weekly show where I interview the leaders of this industry and get them to share their vision and their passion for what's going to come next. And this week I'm on a call with Ricardo Rey, Head of Digital Consumer, MAZ at AB InBev. Ricardo, I try my best to say your name how your mum says it, but apologies to anyone who thinks I did that awfully. Could you just give the audience an overview of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Don't worry about it. I know it's complicated in a foreign language, and thank you for the invitation. Yeah, basically, I've been working in the industry for 13 to 15 years. I started working in digital agencies here in Latin America, basically working from the planning point of view, brand planning. So I worked with different type of clients, airlines, massive consumption companies. From there, I went to work to the media landscape. I work with a very big soccer brand here in Latin America, basically in Colombia mostly, and how to transform their offline presence into an online presence in the video landscape in the media here. Afterwards, I got back to work for agencies. I worked for BBDO in Colombia, for Sancho BBDO, leading the digital content structure within the agency, and was to build the entire team and how to convince brands to invest in digital content. Afterwards, I went to have my own company based on digital anthropology, we called it. We use different tools, digital tools, to understand users' behaviors in the digital context, and we sell that information to the different agencies and different clients so that they can build digital strategies. And afterwards, I worked for Discovery Channel in Brazil, leading the digital transformation in Brazil, being the digital manager over there. It's basically how to compete with giants like Netflix and Amazon Prime with the Discovery content. And nowadays, I'm working here in Mexico with AB InBev, leading the digital consumer strategy within the region in the Middle Americas, and also investing in new technologies to connect better with our digital consumers.
So if someone was listening to this podcast thinking, I'd love to follow in Ricardo's footsteps, but they're like a student, they haven't got into the industry yet, or they're just kind of starting out early days, what advice would you give to them?
Well, digital is a constant evolving landscape. So the best thing that I did was to start young. Even when I was in the university, I went to work for agencies, even if they didn't pay me. I went to learn and to understand the different worlds within the digital landscape. And that gave me a very complete overview of the digital market. And afterwards, I got to choose where I wanted to focus my efforts, because digital, I believe there are no digital experts. It's so huge and so full of detail that you have to choose one path. And starting early, even if I didn't get paid, would be the best advice that I could give anyone who wants to start in the digital landscape.
And as well as that, other bit of advice would you give? What would you say your top marketing tip was? What is the thing that you've learned either when you first started out or later in your career that has stood you in good stead?
Well, basically in line with the tip that I just said, is that you have to build very strong digital teams, because there's no a single person that understands the digital landscape and it's an expert in that way. So you need to complement yourself with other digital knowledge, savvy in the different territories of the digital landscape. So I would strongly advise to encourage you to build strong teams, with different expertises, and that way you can be triumphant in the digital landscape.
And how would you advise that people do that? So like if I'm an SEO expert, for example, and I see that I need someone who's someone to do PPC, but it's, you know, it's very close, but very, very different. And I want to build a strong team. What do you look for when hiring someone or building a team where they've got a different specialism to you and you know what it is, but you don't know how it works? How can you be sure you're hiring the right person?
Yeah, basically, well, you have to understand first what's the objective of the product or business that you're working on. And it's going to deliver different expertise that you need. If you're working on, if you're an SEO expert, I would strongly advise you to hang with a very strong development expert, because SEO, it's not only content, but it's also the way you build the products so that the engines get to know your content, right? So if you know about the theory about SEO, but you don't have a person who builds a specific product for your SEO strategy, maybe it's not going to be as successful. And also, if you get to think that SEO is how people are searching for different products or services, it would be good to understand to bring someone in the team that understands the consumer through social listening or trends. That way you can understand what people are thinking, what people are talking about, and get better at SEO. And it's basically understanding the chain that needs to be addressed so that they get into a digital product and cover the different opportunities with people who are experts in that part of the chain.
If you love all things innovation and want to understand how brands plan to emerge stronger from the current situation, don't forget to check out MadFest London on the 11th and 12th of November. My good friend Dan at MadFest knows how to put on a cracking event, and there's always plenty of amazing speakers, beer, and cool people to meet. Check it out at www.madfestlondon.com.
So we're kind of at the halfway stage now, and we're going to move on to your shiny new object, which is AI in A/B testing. Which, if you're not in this industry, probably won't make any sense whatsoever. And it's a topic incredibly close to my heart and kind of very close to what we do as a business anyway. So I'm really intrigued to hear how you do it. But not everyone's going to know exactly what that means. So can you explain what AI and A/B testing is? And then we can move on.
Yeah, basically the beautiness about digital is that you can measure almost everything, right? Or you can get a sense of everything, of every action that it's been taking on digital. So when we're talking about AI on A/B testing, it's basically, I'm going to start with A/B testing. A/B testing is how you formulate different hypotheses to launch a campaign or to address a specific problem. So for example, if you're trying to communicate with people between 18 and 24 years old that visit specific sites, you can reach them with different formats. When I talk about formats, it's different sizes of banners, for example, or different pieces of content, or different types of creatives. And when you get to analyze this matrix of these three variables that I'm talking about, you get to have millions of ways to communicate with these people. For example, I have a red banner, a purple banner, a green banner, and you get to measure which banner connects more with the audience that you're trying to address. So what we do is we build this hypothesis of how we can connect with this audience that we need to impact. And that's when we use AI. Basically, we use in artificial intelligence to automatize process to build different creatives or to build different contents in real time to launch these campaigns and connect with these audiences. So that way I don't need to hire a designer to build me 10 different banners in 1 week, putting an example, but I get to use platforms that can build a lot of creatives in 1 day with different rules, with different templates, with different copies, and I get to launch them with a controlled budget to understand which are getting a better ROI, return of investment, to my campaign. And then afterwards, what the artificial intelligence tells me is that there are some performing better than others, right? So I eliminate the creatives that are not working that well, and I invest more money in the creatives that are performing well. And I get to tune up things and learnings from the creatives that are performing well. So I create new creatives to impact these audiences. That way I optimize my budget, I optimize my time and my results and my return of investment.
And what are the challenges you've had in trying to get this process working well?
Well, the biggest challenges is that you need to formulate the right hypotheses and the right strategies before using the A/B test and the AI technology. If you don't know your audiences and what are the possible triggers that that you should activate, then the campaign will not be successful. So basically, we do other things before launching these campaigns, and we also use social listening to understand what consumers are talking about, the trends we learn from past experiences to formulate these hypotheses. All of these hypotheses might not be 100% accurate, but the more time you invest in these hypotheses and gathering information to build them, the more effective your campaign will be.
And so for marketers listening to this thinking, yeah, I really want to get involved, what would you say the first steps that you should take to start building a strategy around AI and A/B testing?
Well, first of all, I would advise them to change their mindset in two ways. First, you need to invest some time to understand which are the best creatives that are performing and the best hypotheses that are performing. And you're willing to, the second thing is that you need to be willing to invest some money in those experiments to understand what's working or not. So when I have experience as a consultant also, and I work with some small brands, and I know that budget it's like not, some companies don't have a lot of budget to invest. So when you tell them to invest a little bit of money of a small budget to understand what works or doesn't work, they reject that idea. But when people do that, they understand what's really working. And at the end of the day, the investment that you're making with that budget is going to be more efficient than if you don't do A/B tests at the beginning. So that would be my advice to them. Invest time in understanding your audience and invest budget in understanding your audience before you invest all of the budget that you have planned.
And so where do you see this space moving in the future? How do you think it's going to play out in the next year, 2 years?
I believe that in the Internet of Things and in the metaverse, for example, right now I'm giving examples of banners and something that's not up to date. But what we're trying to do is, for example, how we connect this kind of technology with screens that are in out of home, and invest in technologies that help us impact a person that's buying a certain product within the store, within a physical store, understanding their behavior. So I believe that's where we're going, and not only in stores and in retail, but also in connected devices. How you can address in an intelligent refrigerator, in your car, how you can reach them with the right message at the right time by crossing different variables that you get to analyze and cross by gathering the data of the consumers.
And so how do you see the feedback loop working with out of home? Because there isn't necessarily anything to click. I guess you could use QR code or a URL, but how are you solving getting enough data back? Because with banner ads, you've got billions of impressions and a lot of interactions, so you can work out what's the best ad based on a click-through rate or whatever. But in terms of, you might get thousands of people seeing an ad, tens of thousands of people seeing an ad in an outdoor situation. But then how do you get the feedback loop from the outdoor?
Well, you have to be very conscious that you are asking for very valuable information for a human being, right? To their purchase history, how they buy products, how they behave in out of home. So the what you're returning to them needs to be huge and needs to be valuable also, so they give you information. for me to identify a behavior or a specific person, I know to I have to have that their ID, for example, or their cell phone number or their credit card in the best of the cases, right? But people are very conscious and of giving these details nowadays. So if my promise of giving something huge back, if you give me your cell number or your phone or your address number, it's not good enough for the people, you're never going to give me that data. And therefore, I won't be able to cross your data with my databases. And therefore, I will not be able to provide A/B testing out of home. So you need to be conscious that you're asking for very sensible data for people, and that the reward that they're getting from you as a brand needs to be very specific of what they need, needs to create value for them so that they give you their data and the chain completes.
So unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the podcast now. So if someone wanted to reach out to you and discuss the things we've been talking about today, how would you like them to do that?
Basically, we're trying to understand which are the growth drivers for our audience right now, right? Basically, we're trying to have a change in our mindset that we're not talking more about marketing funnels, but we're talking about the growth loops. And there's a lot of documentation and theory out there. And there's a good platform called WeForge where you can find a lot of information about this. And it's how to identify the different triggers that make a user come back to my brand to get value aside the product. It's what my brand can give them and identify which are the triggers so that he or she can always come back to my brand. So I would like to be addressed basically starting a conversation with growth loops. How would you identify growth loops for your business? For this information that you have from about your consumers, because that way we get to identify the triggers, we get to do A/B testing, we get to use AI, and we get to grow your business.
That is the best answer we've ever had to that question. So thanks for finishing the podcast on such a high. Ricardo, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Tom. Have a nice day.